Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I said was knock it blue. Soldiers showing love.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Mad Dad's national radio show all across the country. Big ups to Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Lincoln, Omaha, Nebraska, Dallas, Texas, of course, headquarters, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I have with me today a wonderful lady, educated, talented, beautiful. I could name a few more things. She's all that and the bag of the chips. You know what I'm saying? So welcome, Elizabeth. So good to have you. She's our city council person. Good to have you today. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, BJ?
I'm doing great. Now, everybody's tripping about our new president, what's going on, and folks are stuck at airports and all kind of crazy stuff. But from your perspective, there's got to be some real common sense stuff that we have to do next steps locally and nationally. So let's get your opinion on what people should do now. What do we do?
Well, thanks for that question, VJ, because it just, when I talk to residents, the amount of things and the extremity of things that are happening that, frankly, I think 5 days ago, 7 days ago, have seemed unimaginable. And right now we're in a reality where we got to imagine it, where we have a president who just issued an order that is a Muslim ban. That has happened, that we have a president who has not divested himself of his business holdings, and so we have all sorts of very frightening conflict of interest issues for the president and the constitutional challenge within that, and you can go on down the list. But I guess what I would say is this is a time like no other. Like, you know, I'm almost 50 years old. It's a time like no other I've experienced in my lifetime, where residents need to do what you are able to do to be engaged. You know, we had some comments from our Congressman Keith Ellison that made the news the other day, where he said that he thought change would only come when people took to the streets. And I heard those comments, and I had to go on my social media and second that. I think there's things that we are doing right now to legally challenge things we believe that are wrong, and I'm a lawyer actually myself, and so I understand that process, but the real change will come by people exercising their First Amendment rights, people exercising their imagination and how to show that our values as a democracy are being violated right now. The world is watching, and I think we will be rising to the occasion. I feel confident of that.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you would say that, because as we look at the world now, he's only been in office a few days. It's like amazing at what the stroke of a pen was able to do. And it's like he thought all this out. This is all prefabricated and everything. And he's even got people on TV saying how great of a job he's doing already. But there's hundreds and thousands of people that are complaining, that are hurting, that are stuck in airports, that all kinds of crazy stuff is going on. And people are nervous. People are nervous. People are scared. People are wondering what to do with their airline ticket, their plans, their travel plans. Like, I better not leave. I better stay home because I might not make it back in. You know, people are really leery on what to do. And so what you have said, number one, get involved locally. Get your feet to the ground. Don't sit at home and just wait on something to happen. But be a part of the movement. So join whatever organization you got to be a part of, or whatever community event you got to be a part of, be a part of that. You know, so people say, well, all that rallying don't do nothing, and all that stopping traffic don't do nothing, all that don't do nothing. But it does do something. It does make some change. It does make our politicians listen, because those people are voting people. They vote. And if they if they see that you're not on the right side, you will not get voted back in.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you have just kind of hit it on the nose right there, VJ, and we're seeing demonstrations happen not just around the United States, but around the world, around the world. I understand there's a measure up in Parliament, you know, so in Great Britain, there's a measure, and they have a procedure, I think, where the public can send in a petition and ask Parliament by that petition or require Parliament to debate something that was on the petition. And they now have about 1.5 million people signing a petition asking Parliament to debate whether England should ban Donald Trump from entering that country. So I think that just shows the level of discord that is happening mm-hmm. around the world, but also how we are part of a world community, an international community, and by putting into place this Muslim ban, by doing things that frankly are just ripping families apart, the world is watching and the world is entering into this conversation. It's not just a United States conversation. This is a world conversation, and how we respond in this moment is critical. How we end up showing what are our values mm-hmm. will dictate what the end result will be. And again, I just I have in my own office, I have two staff members who have close relatives who are not United States citizens. Neither one of those staff members have immediate relatives from the 7 Muslim-majority countries that were identified on the president's executive order, but I will tell you that their family members are also afraid of what might happen when I travel. What's my ability to travel safely and freely in and out of the United States? So there's just repercussions all throughout our communities. I myself used to represent people seeking asylum in the United States, people who were refugees. I was part of a volunteer program with an organization called Minnesota Advocates for Human Rights. And people who are seeking asylum, people who are refugees, they are doing so because they are fleeing from persecution in their home country. And it's persecution that is happening because of their membership in certain categories. So they're persecuted because of their race. They're persecuted because of their political beliefs or because of their religion. And to think that these people who already are fleeing from persecution mm-hmm. are now identified as people are not allowed to seek refuge in our country just seems, is antithetical, I think, to what most of us in the United States hold dear, and that's not a partisan statement right there. I guess my biggest hope is that on all sides of the aisle that we are able to see people speaking up for what are, frankly, our constitutional rights and our American values, and that if your congressman is not speaking out, your congressperson, if your elected representative is not speaking out, again, I would just urge people from the public to let that person know we have to hear from you. This is essential. We live in a democracy. People have to be exercising their rights and letting their elected representatives know if what they're doing is not representing them.
You know, would you say that this is the first underground election? Because to me it seems like, you know, before everybody was excited about who they were voting for. You know, either was it Obama or was that person or whoever, Hillary or whatever, you wore the shirt, you wore the hat. But it seems like so many people are like, they voted for Obama, but they didn't tell you, or they voted for Trump, but they didn't say it. And you know, we have all these people that are coming out of the woodwork that are saying, yeah, I voted for him, but they didn't say. It was the first election where I've seen so many people not really be honest about what they're doing or who they support.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting comment. And I think for those of us who were public about who we were supporting, it's that's why there feels like there's an element of surprise in the election results, mm-hmm. but not only a surprise in the election results, but an unease of why did so many people vote for someone like Donald Trump. And, you know, I think it's important for us to realize that in this moment, and this is my opinion, in this moment, I think we need to appeal to everyone, to regardless of who they voted for,
mm-hmm.
to stand up for what are American values, constitutional values, and to think of those broader purposes and principles that right and left are being violated by this administration. And that we need to continue to reach out to people, to talk to them about their own interests, because I think throughout our country, people's interests are not being helped. The general working person's interests are not being helped by the kinds of things that are now happening through the Trump administration.
Well, you know, I've had you here for a while. I got one last statement to make, and then I'm going to let you go. You know, you've been city council for how long?
Almost 12 years.
12 years. Mm-hmm. And you've been my friend for over 12 years. I've watched your family grow. I've watched your kids grow. I've watched you and your husband, and I've watched you build a family. And I've also watched you make a difference in the community. We've done vigils together at homicide sites, and we've helped communities and families. We've done a lot of stuff together. What's the biggest and greatest thing that you've done in the last 12 years,
mm-hmm.
In your heart, in your mind? What comes to mind when you think about that?
Yeah, I guess the biggest thing I would say is is more like a benefit to me, but I think it's what I hope exudes as a bigger benefit, is I really got a chance in a way I never would have gotten unless I was a council member to understand the importance of community and personal connections to the work that ends up making the city run. And once you really understand that relationship between people and people power and electoral politics, I think that's when you can be successful and see things that you want to see happen, because they're what the people are saying they want to see happen. And that's why I feel like I talk to people, and I think folks feel well represented. And honestly, I think that's because in this area, South Minneapolis, together we've valued that personal connection.
Well, you know, I believe that your legacy will go down as that you're a hard worker. You're a person that believes in the community. You understand the needs of the people. You support those that are suffering, the least, the last, and the lost. And you also understand that we're in this together, and you've always had that type of spirit. I'm honored and glad to be your friend, and I'm thankful that we had a chance to bring you on. Will there be a celebration? Will we be able to celebrate? Will there be a party? Can we come together?
Let me just put it this way. I have a lot of thank yous to give, and I love to, I think we need to have some good times, and so I've been thinking about some celebratory kind of things, and I'll be looking forward to doing that with you, and I want to say back to you, I'm glad that we are friends. I admire you so much.
Thank you.
I love you, Vijay. Best to you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you. Elizabeth, thank you very much for being here. We're going to get back with you. You're welcome to Blog Talk Radio all across the country. That is one of our best city council members right there, Elizabeth Glidden, and she's going to end her term, so she won't be around much anymore. But give her a call and just tell her thanks a lot for all the hard work she's done and all the things she's done to give back to the community. It's a great opportunity for all of us to show appreciation for a young lady. What do you think now? Donald Trump is in office, and I was looking up some of the things that Donald Trump has done since he started office. He started office in January the 20th, all right? And he's got some loyal people behind him. He's got some folks that really believe in him. And Donald Trump has made some promises that we have to look at. And he promised that he would build a wall. Donald Trump promised that he would build a wall. Now, what is the wall supposed to do? Hey, my brother. How you doing, man? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. What is the wall supposed to do, brother? Introduce yourself. Tell everybody who you are.
Hey, I'm Minister Mike Jones from the Refuge Church, St. Paul, Erie.
Uh-huh. What is that wall supposed to do to Donald Trump's building?
He said it's supposed to keep out the illegals, Mexicans.
Mexicans say they build tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do about the tunnels?
I don't know.
Now, here's a brother. Now, you're the minister of what church now?
Refuge.
That's, where is it at?
St. Paul.
Now, you know you're Minneapolis. I don't know why you're trying to switch up on me, but, you know, that's okay. That's okay. I ain't mad at you. Who else we got in here? What is the bridge supposed to do?
My name is Michaela, and I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm not really too much into politics. I don't really know exactly, what really the wall is.
Well, Donald Trump said he's going to build a wall in Mexico, keep all the Mexicans out.
That's really going to do that.
That's what he said he's going to do. You think that's going to work?
Nope.
No.
I don't think so either. So here's what we're talking about. Donald Trump said the protesters is unfair, that he dismisses them. Like, it's just a bunch of people that are mad because Hillary didn't win. And, that he knew that he's got a lot of undercover folks. They don't wear the Trump hat because folks want to slap it off your head. They don't wear the Trump T-shirt because you get hit in the chest, because a brother might just tag you, But there's a lot of Trump supporters, or he couldn't have got that far. So why do you think so many people support Trump?
Well, I think they were just upset at Hillary Clinton because of a lot of the things that she have done in life and that how the media portrayed her.
Okay.
Portrayed her.
Yeah. So that's what you feel?
Yes.
Now I think you might have a point there. You might just have a point. And he also praises the people that fought. He praised those that fought and protested for him on his behalf. Those that, and they were saying some racist stuff, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, so, but he praised them, and Mr. Trump thought that was the thing to do. Then he said, I love the fact that a small group of protesters last night have passion for our great country. We will all come together and be proud. So he's trying to say some presidential stuff that he thinks might help him out. Then he used his own private jet to meet with Obama. And then he spent his first weekend as president-elect in a tower with his name on it. That's okay. I mean, these some things Now, Mr. Trump has boasted in the past about his lavish penthouse suite on 56th floor of Trump Tower was harder to build than the building itself. And when Nigel Farage became the first UK politician to meet with the president-elect after success, they were photographed in the tower with a gold-plated lift. Huh? Did you know about that?
No.
So he's got a gold-plated lift in his tower.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's amazing. Now, this man is rich. Why does he need to be president? Well, he needs to be president so all of his friends and all those supporters can get what they need and have what they need, right? I mean, and that's what... Now, Obama now is moving on, and hopefully he's going to do some great things.
Yes.
I'm sure he will. Next week, I will be down in the History Museum in Washington, D.C. I'll get a chance to see that. I'm excited. It's a brand new museum, and I'm glad that Obama helped get it through because I don't know. If it was up to Trump, we might not have gotten it.
Nope.
So Trump met with, Steve Harvey. He met with, what's the other brother's name he met with? The guy that sings, what's his name?
Young guy, old guy.
Young guy, yeah. Anyway, he's always had mental problems, the guy. He's always going to hospital and He's a set
Kanye?
Rapper. Kanye.
Oh,
he met with Kanye. Trump met with Kanye.
Yep.
So why wouldn't Trump meet with Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson? Or why wouldn't he meet with some of the great leaders of our community? Is there a reason why do you think he wouldn't meet with them?
Because those guys like Al Sharpton and they would have actually put what they would have put forth what they needed into the community instead of what they think they need.
Now, so Donald Trump said he offers a new deal. He said this about the African Americans. He said, "I want to talk about how to grow the African American middle class and provide a new deal for Black America." Trump began. Then that new deal rests on three pillars: safe communities, great education, high-paying jobs, and one principle: America First. Trump said that's what he's going to do for the African Americans.
Trump's trying to make America great again.
That's what. Pardon me.
He's talking about trying to make America great again for the country, people of the world.
Well, he's going to provide high-paying jobs and safe communities. I'm down with safe communities. We need them. I'm tired of gang members taking over our neighborhood.
Yeah.
But the problem has been we've never put enough money into investing into changing it. We know where the bad people are, but get rid of them.
Yeah.
I don't believe the FBI can do it. I think you got to hire some of us to do what we know how to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Because only us know our community.
Right. So Trump's pitch to the African American has been drawing some support. And the most recent poll in Pennsylvania showed Trump winning 29% of the Black vote and 30% of the Hispanic vote in the Keystone State. And here's the promise I make to you. Whether you vote for me or not, I will be your greatest champion. We live in a very divided country, but I will be your greatest champion. Has he shown to be our greatest champion?
Not yet with 2 weeks in office.
Not yet with 2 weeks in office.
Sure,
he hasn't shown that. Trump said he went on to describe the many sacrifices made by African Americans for the country and the dire state of the community today. And in 2015, violent crime in Charlotte increased by 18% and is expected to rise 24% this year. He said he noted that Democrats had governed in African American communities for decades and achieved nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would think that the Democrats will respond to that and say, hold up, we've achieved something. We've done something. I would really like to find out what they've done and what we have achieved. And one of the things I know we have done, we've made some headway in education. We made some headway in training. We got more African Americans driving trucks now than ever before. Mm-hmm. That was a field that there weren't many at one point. You couldn't drive a semi, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a time in the 60s that wasn't many of us out there, right? You know.
That's right.
Right? And so now, but you as an owner, you're not just a driver, you're an owner.
Yes, sir.
How does it feel to be in that field where you're an owner now?
Well, it's very great, you know, especially at 5 o'clock in the morning and you see your piece of machine going down the street. You know, it's just a wonder. It's just amazing how you come out of drugs and alcohol by places like Mad Dad's or Shiloh Temple and different churches in the community who sit down and talk to us and actually give us hope that we can achieve the goals that we have set forth.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, I was talking about you in Florida with Bishop Howe. We were down there, First Lady, Pastor Betty, Pastor Dukes, and others. And I talked about you and how the Keys Ministry, you were part of that. You helped me cook and all that stuff. And, you know, we family. You know, you like my son. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm excited. And we were talking about how that ministry has that kind of impact, that people can go from it was always in you. You just needed to know that enough people loved you and believed in you so you can believe in yourself again.
Correct.
So I'm extremely proud of you. I'm extremely proud of what you're doing and how what you're doing in your life. Michaela, we're proud of you and how we've been able to be in your life and make a difference in your life and that you become a better mother, you know, and a better community member. And,
thank you, BJ.
And the same with you. Joanne, proud of where you're at, all the hard work you put in this organization. Get on my last nerves, can't stand you, but glad that you're here. and glad that you're a part of this organization. You know how some people get on your nerves? You love them, but you can't stand them. You know, and you can't do nothing about it. You know what I mean?
And they won't go away.
And they won't go away. You know what I'm talking about, right? So here's what we got to do, though. We got 4 minutes left. We have to mobilize. You talked to our city council member, Elizabeth Glidden, earlier. We have to mobilize. We have to get active. Tell me something that you plan to do, Makeda. Now, we got a new president. What are your plans? What are you going to do now? What's your goal?
Make some changes, you know, within the community, you know, whatever I'm able to do to be a voice, not just for, like, myself, but, you know, for others around me. Because, you know, we have a lot of trouble out here in the Twin Cities community. And it's just getting to be enough. It needs to stop.
What are you going to do, sir? Thank you, McKay. What are you going to do?
Well, continue to volunteer. You know, my days off when I'm not working. Continue to volunteer and grow my company and help make other people's dreams come true.
Joanne, thank you, sir. Joanne, what are you going to do?
I'm doing more volunteering. Also, I'm going to do more walks for the community as far as speaking up for second chance prisoners and stuff like, and things like that. So instead of just talking it, I'm going to actually be about the different organizations helping out.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be that information person. I'm going to find out as much information from my senators, my legislators, my city council members about what we can do, about how we can help this Constitution. Because God forbid they start put us in segregation again where, you know, black kids got to go to black school, white kids got to, you know, if that would happen, God forbid that no one can leave the country, you know, when they need to, because otherwise they'd be stuck. Because I will not go. I got my passport. Well, I'm a little nervous now. I don't want to get out somewhere in Africa and then I try to get back and I'm stuck. You know, I think I got family there, but I don't know who they are. So I want to be careful. I want to be in tune to what needs to be done to save our community. I want to have an impact on our community and make change. I want to show our children that they do have a future. And I believe that the only way we can do that is by fighting. I hate to say this, you know, but it's so true. I've never seen a revolution without somebody getting hurt. If there's going to be a revolution, it's going to be some pain. There's going to be a revolution, there's going to be some folks that get hurt. I'd hate to see anyone get hurt, but I just don't see how we get out of it without some pain. What's your final thought?
Got a lot of thoughts right now.
That's all right, we'll come back. What's your final thought?
Just how, you know, we can just continue to help these young folks in the community.
Joanne, your final thought.
Stay strong, keep your head up, and get involved with a community or organization that's trying to help instead of just talking.
I just want to let you know you've been listening to Blog Talk Radio all across the nation. Big ups to Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Lincoln, Omaha, Nebraska, Dallas, Texas, Minneapolis, Minnesota, the headquarters of Mad Dads all across the nation. We are so excited and so proud to have you be a part of what we do that we want you to tune in. Make sure you come and get involved. You need us, 612-822-0802. Write it down right now, 612-822-0802. Back to the theme song, Mad Dads in the House.
Against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Mad Dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, in struggle, fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was knocking blue.